If you take your Bibles, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, beginning of verse 1. Jesus says, still in the Sermon on the Mount, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets." As we come to this part of the Sermon on the Mount, let's go to God in prayer, shall we? Lord, again, as we look at these verses, Lord, we've heard many sermons about many of these verses. But Lord, I pray that even today, we will hear your Spirit. We will learn something from this part of the Sermon on the Mount that applies to us today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Holidays and vacations are nice interludes and distractions. We've had the last month or so of them. But don't you find having a regular routine is more relaxing and actually more calming? It's been good reviewing and contemplating the various prophecies and actions leading us up to the birth of our Savior, which he celebrated all during Advent. But just for fun, this is the teacher part of me. Just for fun, what were the four words or themes this year? You know, we had these banners behind us and had words on each one of them. What were the four words? That's it. Make me feel not good. The words were promise, miracle, announcement, and visit. But now, it's time to get back to our study of the book of the Gospel of Matthew. Since it's been a while, it's been about 6 weeks since we looked at these verses, which are really, these verses are a summary of the Sermon on the Mount. It might be good to review just a little bit the earlier parts of the sermon. And maybe get started, here's a couple other rhetorical questions. Who were the religious leaders of Jesus' day? The Pharisees? The scribes, or the teachers of the law, depending on your translation. What were they like? Much as we sell them short, they were the very, very religious people of the day. But the problem was, they were also very self-righteous. For a picture of their attitudes, turn to Luke chapter 18. It's a parable that Jesus gave. I'm just going to read the first part. But Luke chapter 18, beginning with verse 9. Again, Luke 18, verse 9, we read, "To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, 'God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get.'" The Pharisees were pompous, smug, self-important. They knew that God had to accept them because of their righteous acts. The Pharisees' attitudes, teachings, and examples are what everyone else thought it meant to be religious. So because of this, Jesus had to teach his followers. He had to teach Christians what it really meant to be children of God. Religion was more than what one did and what one looked like to others. And Jesus accomplished this, brought this about through the Sermon on the Mount. Here he compared the religious teachings of the day with the religious teachings of God himself. Jesus started, as you probably all remember, back in chapter 5 with the Beatitudes. Christians needed different attitudes than those modeled by the self-righteous Pharisees. Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, need to be poor in spirit, mournful over sin, meek, merciful, hungering for righteousness. Jesus kind of summarized those first verses in chapter 5, verse 20, when he said, "For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." Jesus then went on to compare particular teachings of the day with what God in the Bible taught. 6 times Jesus said in that chapter, "You have heard it said, but I tell you." In other words, he was kind of saying, the Pharisees teach this, but God says this. Jesus gave 6 examples that showed that it was the righteousness in one's heart that was important, not doing righteous appearing acts. A righteous heart is more important than righteous actions. And then in chapter 6, Jesus applied this righteousness to everyday activities, including caring for the needy, praying, fasting, one's relationship with material things. And basically, he finished up that chapter by teaching that for the Christian worldview should be, don't worry, trust God. And now here in chapter 7, Jesus was coming to the end of his sermon. He needed to teach his followers how to interact with others. You see, the teaching of the day was a rather negative teaching. It said, what you do not want done to yourself, do not do to others. Or maybe a little simpler, don't hurt others so they won't hurt you. That was the saying of the Pharisees. He countered this selfish, self-protecting rule with the key verse for this section, and really for the whole Sermon on the Mount. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. The responsibility is not protecting oneself, but on the positive behavior and attitudes towards others, so that they will glorify God. Early on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus had said, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." In today's scripture, Jesus gave 3 ways a Christian should deal with others. The first way is, do not judge inappropriately, or if you want, incorrectly. Do not judge incorrectly. Contrary to how many people, including some Christians, try to take this first verse out of context, Jesus was not telling his followers not to judge at all. In fact, if you think about it, throughout this whole sermon, Jesus has been teaching Christians to judge between true righteousness and false righteousness, between internal things and external things, between God's ways and the ways of others. Christians need to judge sin. Later on in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus is going to teach to confront our sinning brother privately with a sin. And if he will not repent, to take 1 or 2 others along to speak to him. And if that does not cause him to change, to bring him before the entire church. And if he still doesn't repent, he's to be put out of the church and regarded, as Jesus said, as a Gentile or tax collector. Christians are to judge what brothers and sisters in Christ do, and if necessary, take the appropriate action. In 1 Corinthians 5:11, Paul wrote, "But now I'm writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who calls himself a brother, but is sexually immoral or greedy, an adulterer or a slanderer, a drunkard or a swindler. With such a man, do not even eat." To obey these commands, believers have to judge sinful actions in one another. Again, Christians need to judge sin. Turn to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. It's way towards the end of the book of Romans. Paul's summarizing. And Romans 16, beginning of verse 17. Paul wrote, I urge you, brothers, fellow Christians, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. For such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Later on in the same chapter in Matthew, Jesus is going to say, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. In Galatians 1:8, Paul wrote, even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. Christians are to test and evaluate the teachings of everyone who teaches. Not only are they to judge the sense of people, but Christians are to test or judge their messages as well. Christians are to judge who speaks for God and who doesn't. Turn back to 2 John chapter 1. 2 John, way back by the book of Revelation. 2 John, there's only one chapter. So chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. The Apostle John is writing to a widow, and he says here in verse 10 and 11, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, that is the gospel, the true gospel, do not take him into your house or welcome him. Anyone who welcomes him shares in his wicked work. There are times we must judge. In fact, not to do so is to sin. The judgment Jesus was forbidding was the harsh, merciless, self-righteous judgment and condemnation of others that was done by the scribes, teachers of the law, and the Pharisees. Their judgment wasn't based on God and his word, but on their own worldly, self-made traditions. Jesus was teaching that Christians are not to judge others based on human understanding and human standards. Their judgment, Christian judgment, must be based on God's word. One major reason to judge sin is that others can be warned of their sin. Back in Matthew 18, Jesus said, if your brother sins against you, go and show him your fault, his fault, just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. Leviticus 19:17 says, do not hate your brother in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly, so you will not share in his guilt. Refusing to warn a person about his sin is just as unloving as refusing to warn him about some dangerous situation that he's in, like parking on a train track or overreaching from a ladder. Every Christian needs to be discerning. It's not to be left up to the pastor or to the leaders of the church. But what cannot be judged or criticized are the motives of others. We cannot judge the motives of others. 1 Corinthians 4:5 says, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. At that time, each will receive his praise from God. Only God can judge the motives of a person. Only God can see a person's heart. Hebrews 4:12 reminds us that nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Whenever we condemn people without mercy because they do not do something the way we think it ought to be done, or because we believe their actions are wrong, we pass judgment that only God is qualified to make. This is inappropriate judging for a Christian. Jesus went on to say, to remind Christians that they'll be judged with the same type of judgment with which they judge others. In criticizing unjustly, condemning unmercifully, a person is playing God and gives the impression he is above criticism and judgment. Such judgment is kind of like a boomerang. It will come back on the one who judges, both in this life
in a life to come. And the Lord's Prayer that we pray almost every Sunday morning, except when Sue leads, we pray, forgive us our debts. That is, forgive us our sins. And how's the rest go? As we forgive others. So if we don't forgive, what are we saying? In verse 3, Jesus went on to say, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and you pay no attention to the plank in your own? Jesus was saying that before one helps a brother or sister get rid of his or her sin, that that person must first take care of the sins in his own life. The sins that the scribes and the Pharisees were unable to see in their lives was their self-righteousness. I don't think it's much different today. A self-righteous person trusts in himself and not in God. He feels he can judge, he can be judge and jury. He thinks he sees all, but in reality, he's blind. 1 John 1:8 says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Such a person is a hypocrite since he sees no sin in his own life. Jesus said that before doing anything, a Christian must take care of the sin in his or her life. Before a person can help his brother, he must have the mind Jesus described in the Beatitudes. Only after his sins have been confessed and cleansed by God, after praying like David did in Psalm 51, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me, then and only then will a Christian be able to help his brother, his sister, handle their sin. Christians aren't to judge inappropriately or incorrectly. But on the other hand, Christians must not naively accept everyone. Jesus said, do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. To obey Jesus' command, it's obviously necessary to determine what are dogs and what are pigs. Christians need to evaluate others appropriately or correctly. In Jesus' day, dogs weren't cute, pleasant little household pets. They were half-wild mongrels. They ran wild in the streets, scavenging for food. They were dirty, greedy, snarling, and often vicious. They were dangerous and despised. Pigs or swine were the height of uncleanness to the Jews. They also were wild animals who ate from the dumps on the edge of the town. If someone got between them and their food, they would attack and tear a person to pieces with their tusks and sharp hooves. Jesus was saying that certain truths and blessings of the faith are not to be shared with people who are totally antagonistic to the things of God. Such people are spiritual dogs and swine with no appreciation for what is holy and righteous. Followers of Jesus Christ, Christians, need to be discerning so that they don't waste their time on semi-wild dogs proclaiming the message of the kingdom of heaven. There comes a time when Christians need to move on. There are times when Christians need to be quiet and let the Holy Spirit move in the hearts and the lives of those who resist God's word. Let me just show you one example. Turn to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, begin in verse 44. Acts 13. Acts 13, verse 44. We read, on the next Sabbath, almost the entire city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and talked abusively against what Paul was saying. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, we had to speak the word of God to you first. Since you reject it, and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. There are times that Christians need to be quiet and let the Holy Spirit work. Finally, Jesus taught that Christians should love one another. To love others as God wants us to love, first of all, requires that we judge appropriately and not in a self-righteous, unmerciful, condemning way like the Pharisees did. The only way that this can be done is with the wisdom of God. Only God can judge and evaluate properly. When Jesus said the verse that we all quote so quickly, ask and seek and knock, he was saying, if you want wisdom to know how to help a sinning brother and how to evaluate others appropriately and to love one another, go to your Heavenly Father and ask and seek and knock. Actually, the words that Jesus used were, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Christians are to persevere in prayer. These words imply that Christians are to also be busy doing. Christians are to be active, not sitting back passively, waiting for God to do his thing without them. Christians need to be ready to be the instrument used by God, asking, seeking, knocking. Jesus went on to say that just as any responsible earthly father would not trick or be mean to his children by giving stones that resemble bread or snakes that resemble fish, God will meet the needs of his children. God is absolutely trustworthy and will outdo anything any earthly father would do. But Christians must ask. Contrary to the health and wealth gospel preachers, we need to remember, though, that God is not a genie who will do whatever we demand of him. James 4:3 reminds us, when you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. 1 John 5:14 adds, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. We need to know God's will and be seeking to do it. This brings us back kind of where we started. If we're going to know his will, we need to have that plank, that sin removed from our lives, so we can see what God wants and then be able to go out and do it. Jesus closed this section, actually summarized again the whole Sermon on the Mount with the phrase we call the Golden Rule. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Basically, how we treat others is not to be determined how we expect them to treat us, or by how we think they should treat us, but by how we want them to treat us. When we think of the right thing to do, when you think of what you like to be treated, then use that as a guideline for how you would treat others. This is what God expects of his disciples. Basically, we are truly to love others, and we will live for their benefit, not for ours. A righteous heart is more important than righteous actions. The Christian worldview should be, don't worry, trust God. Three ways a Christian should deal with others. Don't judge incorrectly. But Christians need to judge sin. They need to judge the messages. But judgment must be based on God's word. Christians need to warn others of God's sin. But Christians must not, we cannot, judge motives. And Christians must take care of their sin first. We need to evaluate others properly or correctly. And there are times Christians need to be quiet. And finally, we must love one another. And if we truly love others, we will live for their benefit. Closing, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Some verses that you all know well. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. But I also want to read verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast. And then verse 10 says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior, there are expectations for you, things God has prepared for you to do. You aren't to judge others inappropriately, but you are to judge using God's word. You are to be discerning, not judgmental. We are to come alongside fellow Christians and help them get right with God. But only after you've become right with God yourself. When people not only reject the gospel, but insist on mocking, reviling it, you aren't to waste God's holy word and precious truths in a futile and frustrating attempt to win them to Christ. We're to leave them to the Holy Spirit. And finally, the only way we can satisfy the expectations and carry out the golden rule is through being continually filled with the wisdom and the power of God. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it'll be given to him. We need to ask and seek and knock continually. Not just when things seem to be getting tough or out of control, but even when things are going along well, then no matter what happens, we are already walking with God. Then we'll have a right relationship with him and with others. We'll be walking as Jesus would have us walk. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that as we go through our daily lives, Lord, that we look to you first. Lord, that we not be looking at those next to us or behind us, but we be looking ahead at what you have modeled for us. May our attitudes, may our actions be those that you would have us to do. In Christ's name we pray.